We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Let's stop there. So Paul is speaking something about something present, something that is for the now, our gathering upon Mount Zion, which he says is the dwelling place of the firstborn. That is the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn is one body. It's a congregation in that one body, which is the firstborn of God. Or you can call him the only begotten of God. You know, we know the church is the body of Christ. And the body and the head can never be separated. They are one indivisible entity. So we will be wrong if we think that Jesus is over there and we are here. Because where he is where we are. We are one. Praise God. It's a reality we must wake up to. First of all, caused by revelation. And gradually the sons of God must awaken to the reality that they are one with Christ. They are one indivisible, eternally with the living one, who we see in this instance as the firstborn. See, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is where our gathering is. It's a celestial city. A realm, a dimension that is eternal, that never passes away. Gold city. God uses gold in the book of Revelation. Transparent gold city. Descending from heaven. Said in our reality, it is descending consciously into our view. We are becoming aware of it. Praise God. God uses gold and all those things as allegories to describe the incorruptible nature, the eternal nature of his dwelling place. A kingdom that is without end. So if you have made reservations for some kind of mansion, or some kind of room, in some kind of gold palace up in the physical skies, we better rethink, change our mode of thinking, and begin to open our eyes to behold an eternal realm that is already present. Enter into this realm right now, and we can begin to partake of the blessings of God. Blessings without limit. Right now. Praise God. The kingdoms of this world, they are all passing away. John says they are passing away. It is present, continuous. It's passing away. See, everything in the natural changes form, taken away with time. But the eternal Jerusalem remains forever. See, and now we are called to lay hold on a promise or an inheritance that never fades away. So let us be wise. Let us be wise and be like that wise builder who built upon a rock, an eternal rock, a rock that does not pass away. Praise God. So Paul also speaks about, you know, our gathering among, you know, angels, joyful assembly of spirits, innumerable company of what? Angels. Angels. Praise God. Because some people think that you have creatures or beings which are called angels. Look, when we open our eyes in the spirit, you discover that everything is Christ. Christ can appear as a messenger. He can appear as an angel. You who minister the words of God, you who do the will of God, you who align yourself to serve the Lord, are like angels. You are sons of God. You are angels. You are ministers. You are everything. So we gather into that dimension of angels, perfected spirits. See it. Angels don't have a life of their own. They live solely on account of the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ says, if you serve me, where I am is where you will be also. Where I am, that dimension upon Mount Zion, that place of all power at the right hand of my Father God, that place of joy unspeakable, that place of divine peace, divine health, that place with springs bubbling with joy, is where you will be as you serve me with single-mindedly as the angels who are there. Praise God. So we are presently gathered to that place. We have come. Praise God. Now, many of us still don't believe in certain things in the realm of the spirit. I tell you, I've had countless experiences. At times I need a kind of baton, somebody to hit me with a baton on the head. So at times remember, you know, we men, we forget so easily. We forget. We're carried away. We are at times overwhelmed with the things of this world and we forget things. I recall many, many experiences I've had over the years. See, encounters. Hallelujah. And great, great open encounters, heavenly encounters. There are places we went to minister and there were signs and wonders. A few days back I was at a sister's house with the family, husband, the children, and I opened the Bible to share the word of God, and a small child of about 10 years old walked up to the daddy and said, daddy, look, I see somebody in white, wearing white, here, right there. He was just standing here just right now with a kind of gold crown on his head, and the parents were shocked beyond comprehension. They were shocked beyond comprehension. In my spirit, I knew that, see, God did that just to tell them to listen to what I'm going to say. Now, these things have followed me over the years, and they follow every one of us, but we are not really attentive. We are distracted with our family cares, family problems. Somebody is sick, somebody is dying. See, what will I eat? How will I pay my taxes? How will I pay my bills? Now we are overwhelmed with these things at times, and we lose track of the real world, of that dimension of the spirit. Praise God. Different signs we have seen over the years. You see, there was a time I was preaching somewhere, and another group of brethren saw me in a vision in a church, and you know, they told the congregation, look at what they are seeing, they see me preaching. And it was exactly what they saw I was doing. Now, how do you think they saw that vision? It's obviously an angel of God who transmitted that thing to them. And all these things is the work of the ministry to cause people to listen and to become aware of the truth. As you are walking and, you know, exercising yourself in godliness, there are invisible hands behind you trying to keep you in place, leading you, See, several times where I got discouraged, where I saw signs, the Father spoke to me through visions, through different means to put me on track. And I tell you, let us not lose track of this salvation. It's a great thing. Praise God. So we are gathered upon Mount Zion, the place of the firstborn. Praise God. The city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, the city from the sky, the innumerable company of angels, see, perfected spirits, not perfected flesh. Praise God, because those that attain to that place, those who walk in that place are not men. See, a man cannot walk upon Mount Zion. We're not talking of the man known of God. We're talking of the mortal man. Because the mortal man is not known of God. God did not create a mortal man. See, God did not create anything imperfect. We, as men, are the ones who have slept into that dimension and we have walked as men. Praise God. Now there's a voice from the Spirit. If you can discern the voice from the Spirit today, this voice of the Spirit is saying, come up. Come up, Ida. Come up to Mount Zion. That is the gospel. See, the gospel of God is simply a call to return back to Mount Zion. See, the place in eternity where you came from. That's the place from the beginning. Come back to Mount Zion. That's why Paul writes here that do not refuse him that speaketh, that is, don't rebel against the word of God. Let go of your humanity. Ascend up spiritually. Trust God. Trust God. Why do I say trust God? Because as men used to physical evidence, at times we get discouraged. Many shrink back. Many turn back. Many get discouraged because they cannot see physical evidence. See, but the just will live by faith. The just will have his eyes focused in the Spirit. He will live by faith. Day and night he will stir up himself. Now, it is not every time that you always feel a presence. At times you might just be somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and at times it might look like if there's no, but I tell you, the Father has not left you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh Father, forgive our unbelief. He has not left you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. When Jesus Christ gave those words to his disciples, I will be with you even unto the end of the age. He was speaking from the depths of God. God will be with you unto the end of the age. That means he will lead you unto the end of this age. Because at the end of this age, that is when everything is totally dissolved, you are in him. He's not with you, but you are him. Are you see it? This is what I'm saying. I will be with you on to the end of this age. After the end of this age, he doesn't have to be with you anymore because you are him. See, you find that we are in this age, in this world, because we feel we have a kind of identity apart from God. See, that is the sensation that has to be destroyed, dissolved by God's fire, eternal fire of truth. Praise God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. These were the words to Joshua. Because as we enter into this walk with God, our eyes have to be stay focused on the invisible realm of God. Not being moved. Not being, taken away. Staying ourselves in prayers and meditating day and night, reminding ourselves of the things of God, remaining in communion. Otherwise, the dust then goes back to the dust and everything dissolves. You forget everything. Praise God. It's very, very, very subtle. Spiritual alertness, continuity, very, very, very important. See, certain things out there, Paul says that, see, we should be careful that the days are evil. You see, there are certain things out, the circumstances that you just meet along the line. And at times, if you are not alert, it will draw you back down into days and days and days of weeping and mourning. Praise God. But thank God we have come to Mount Zion, the place of the new covenant, the sprinkling of blood that speaketh of better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was the blood crying out for revenge, crying out for judgment. But the blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness, speaks reconciliation. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not minding their trespasses. Praise God. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. Stir up yourself and walk again. Praise God. Humpty Dumpty, stand up and pick up the pieces again. You are forgiven. Praise God. The old saying that Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and fell down from the wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, that saying is over. That one goes with the sayings of Abel. Right now we have a new covenant. If you crash, if you fall down, stand up and walk again. Walk again and walk again and walk again. I will never leave you or forsake you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we are presently, we have come to Mount Zion. Praise God. Let us live the life of Mount Zion. So it's a dimension of pure love. It's a dimension of pure unity. It's a dimension where every man lives according to just one name, which is the name of the Lord. It's a place of complete harmony, peace and joy, where men access the totality of God's blessing. It is the place of the blessing. Psalm 133 says how lovely it is, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mount Zion, the place of the blessing, where God has promised the blessing. God has blessed, commanded the blessing. Now you can hear what he said, the blessing, not blessings. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That means every single blessing, everything, blessing, hallelujah, all the totality. Paul says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every, not some, not you know, a measure, but without measure, he has blessed us everlasting blessings upon Mount Zion, even life forever. Man, that is eternal life. This is the eternal life that the Father has promised what? His sons. Eternal life. This is the eternal life that the Father has promised his sons. Those who can stir up themselves and awaken to what they are hearing today. It's a place where the brethren dwell together in unity. There's no more fighting, no more backbiting, no more striving for vain glory. But they all live in one. It's a realm of love, harmony. Praise God. Of course, that kind of love cannot be found by men. It's a realm of spirit. Those who walk in that realm walk in the spirit. They don't walk in the flesh. Praise God. Those who walk in the flesh are likened to those giants of the days of Noah, where there was all kind of wickedness and bitterness and all kind of injustice, and it's written that in their hearts, the heart was filled with evil day and night. Strife, bitterness, revenge, hate, intolerance. See it. All these things are found below in the realm of man. And I tell you, there's no man that is good. No matter how good, how much you try, no matter how much you try to be good as a man, you cannot attain to that place of the blessing as a man. It's impossible. Praise God. It is not a realm for men, but it is for those who have ascended spiritually back into truth. And this is the groaning of every man who knows truth today. So you have heard the voice of the Father revealing a return back into that place of the blessing. So anybody that has this hope purifies himself from this world. You purify yourself from this world by spiritualizing yourself in the regeneration. It's by conformation to the image of Christ. Changing our thoughts, pattern, changing our view of the creation, opening the spiritual eyes to begin to see the Father in the creation. This is the only way we can purify ourselves. John says that he that had this hope purifies himself. Now, he says we are the sons of God. Now, nothing can change that. Now, you see, we are the sons of God. Nothing can change the fact that we are the sons of God. But some are the sons of God, you know, strayed away from their place. They married strange women. They descended from their place in God. Now the sons of God must divorce themselves from this world. He that has this hope purifies himself. Praise God. It's not by being religious. It's not by paying tithes. Praise God. It's by exercising ourselves in godliness. Hallelujah. Mount Zion, the place of our consolations. Praise God. It is the place where every man fulfills the law of God. If you remember when Moses was taken up to Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai in this instance was an allegory of a type of Mount Zion, Moses had to go up there to receive of the tablets of stone on which was engraved the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. He received the Ten Commandments. Inscribed upon by the very finger of God. So of course when Moses came down, he came down glowing. He was glowing. Allegorically, when God writes on the tablets of stone, is the operation he does on his saints, those who are ascending up that same mountain like Moses ascended. Because no man can see God. No man can see God and live. It's impossible. There must be a change. These laws must be inscribed on our hearts, meaning we must be in alignment with the law of God. And Moses came down as a light beam for a moment. Praise God. And there's a revelation here. Because the Ten Commandments, in reality, were not brought forth to be obeyed, to be observed. But rather, it represents a state of being. It represents a consciousness, which we call Christ consciousness. Hallelujah. The Ten Commandments is a man. Hallelujah. The Ten Commandments is a man. It is Christ. It is God's Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Because the commandment is in him. He is the commandment made flesh. Praise God. That's why Jesus Christ says, I did not come to abolish the commandments, but rather I came to fulfill the commandments. Now, where is Christ coming? Christ is coming in us. I come in you to fulfill the commandments. I'm being unveiled in you to fulfill the commandments of the blessing of God. The commandments that will lead you to the blessings of God. I come. Is the unveiling of Christ in you. And that unveiling reveals that consciousness of oneness. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because there is only one, which is Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because there is only one, and that one is Christ. It's a lovely thing, brethren. This is the mystery of the ages that God is revealing to us today. Hallelujah. To live in harmony with the brethren, to rediscover the love that surpasses all knowledge. To rediscover our oneness, every man must ascend. Humble yourself, let go of the life upon the earth, and begin to walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, we don't see any other thing but God. When we walk in the Spirit, we become servants of God. And when we see God in everything, we serve everything. we are in a state of constant worship and in constant praise. We bless everything. We honor everything. We humble ourselves before everything. Because all things are God and all things are Christ. There is no more vain glory. Struggling to be heard. Struggling to be seen and to be known by men. Because there is only one, and that is Christ. And we all live by that revelation. Praise God. This is the only way we can get back the blessing that we lost in Adam, the blessing that we lost in the transgression. Every man must awaken to Christ. Learn to become servants of one another. Praise God. We don't have to let our voice to be heard all the time. And we don't have to try to suppress the voices of others. All in the name of the gospel. But rather learn to lift up others. It's something that we must practice. Exercise ourselves in. Because in reality, as men, these things elude us. As men, we always seek to be on top of the other, isn't it? We always feel our own version is better than the other one's version, isn't it? But when we sit down and humble ourselves, we will hear God speaking through every man, through every idea, everything we minister to us. When we transcend the realm of good and evil, everything becomes beautiful again. I will lose the sense of being judgmental, always scrutinizing what other people do, watching out for the errors of other people, watching out for the errors in your wife, in your brother, in your sister, watching out for errors in ministers, people who preach the word of God. Always criticizing. See, we are not called to become critics. We are called to partake of God's kingdom. Praise God. Some people have become so religious, end time religious, that they even fail to realize when a message comes out from somebody who is not from their group. This thing should not be so. Praise God. Even over the years, I've observed that even these angels that operate in silence, in the secret, they do not distinguish between sinner and good man. They serve all men equally. I've observed these things over the years. Praise God. We must exercise ourselves in this new revelation of Christ, this mystery that is coming to us today, so that we can be partakers of the blessings, hallelujah, upon Mount Zion. The life, the place where God has commanded blessing, the blessing. Praise God. James and John asked God a favor, asked Jesus a favor, that they wanted to be by, you know, his right hand by his side in glory when he appears. And Jesus Christ told them it shall be so for them. And what happened? The disciples became jealous. Let's see what happened. Let us read it here. From Mark chapter 10, verse 41, and when the 10, that is the other 10 disciples, heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever shall be great among you shall be a what? Your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is, now, if we have this kind of mentality, we can never fall. So if we have this kind of mentality, we can never fall. See, we have less problems with people. Because seemingly in this world, everybody wants to be boss. Everyone wants to be the one that speaks. Everyone that wants to be I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in friends. I've seen it in establishment, in working places. It's everywhere. Every man wants to exalt himself above the other. In fact, all men walk as gods upon the earth. They are the giants upon the earth. Men of renown. All men vainly puffed up with their fleshy carnal minds. Yes, even within myself, I felt these things, you know, this urge to be on top, to be head, to suppress others. But it will not be so for the sons of the kingdom. Rather, we become servants, serving the Lord's body, recognizing the Lord's body, and serving the Lord's body with reverence. Servants of all men. Praise God. Let us not lose focus, because the moment we begin to walk otherwise, other things begin to enter. Praise God. Hallelujah. At times when you have ministered to brethren, there are many people who have come to this ministry and they are gone. I don't go after them. No. Let them go off and minister to others. Praise God. That is how it should be. Servant, even Jesus Christ in the days of his ministry, he didn't go about building tents. When he ministered, his word is gone. At times, some people want to follow him, say, where are you going, man? You go your way and minister to the people in other cities. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. Praise God. Let us learn to be... you see, the congregation of God is dispersed all over the world. The harvest fields are big without measure. Praise God. So there's no point fighting for a piece of land or a parcel of the harvest field. Move on. Praise God. So let us exercise ourselves in these things. Serving one another with love. Respecting one another. Honoring one another. See, not seeing faults in one another. Not being judgmental, critical. Praise God. But seeing positivity in every man. Every man, eh? Not just people in your group. Not just people with your own kind of philosophy. Because philosophy will pass away. Theology will pass away. Knowledge and all these things will pass away. That which will remain is that oneness upon Mount Zion. Praise God. The blessing upon the Mount Thousand Hills. Servants of God. Praise God. And as you serve, humble yourself to serve, I will lift you up. I will lift you up. Praise God. If you listen to the message on harm, the cause of harm, Ham looked at the nakedness of his father. Ham mocked at the father's nakedness. But the two other brothers, Japheth and Shem, what did they do? They walked backwards, they refused to look at the father's nakedness, and they covered the father's nakedness. They covered the father's nakedness. Praise God. When you look at men wrongly, when you refuse to view the father in the creation, when you refuse to view only Christ, the seed of Christ in men, it's likened to looking at the father's nakedness. It's all about walking carnally, carnality. And we see harm received the curse, bondage to corruptibility, bitterness, anger, hate, and all these things that destroy men and tear men apart. But the two others that honor the father, the blessings, that even Ham becomes a servant of them. Let us be, you know, servants of God, loving one another, worshiping one another, honoring one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is written here that when Moses ascended that mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, God descended. You see this in Exodus chapter 34. This was the second time Moses went up to receive the law. God descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Now let's stop there. Of course, you see, first of all, we must understand what happened here. When Moses ascended up that mountain, God descended and he met him there. Of course, that glory cloud, it represents God. It's the body of God. See, and in that glory cloud is the thousands. You notice that the Lord says, keeping mercy for thousands. Now, who are the thousands? The thousands are the ones in that cloud. Now, this is the congregation of God, the congregation of the firstborn. This is the innumerable company of angels we are seeing there. These are the just spirits that are united in one in God. They form the body of God. These are the ones that receive the mercy, the blessing of God. This is what it says. It says, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Isn't that what we have in Christ Jesus? In him we have forgiveness of sin. In him we have redemption. Praise God. We are the ones in that cloud. We are the ones who represent the embodiment of the law of God, which is oneness. When the Lord says, thou shalt do this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thou shalt not have graven images, those Ten Commandments, what God was simply saying, thou shalt keep yourself in Christ. Thou shalt keep Christ consciousness. Thou shalt continue in Christ consciousness. That is what God is saying. Of course, those things now become interpreted as loving your neighbor as yourself by men in the lower dimension. Men who live according to the flesh. See, they see it in bits and pieces. They see the Ten Commandments, the commandment of God, as 10 bits, 10 pieces. Because they are in darkness, thinking that they have a personality apart from God. So when you ascend up like Moses did, into that cloud, you discover that there is only one. Your neighbor is yourself. There's only one. And you are in God and God in you. So how can you hate yourself? Praise God. Now look, if you go down to verse 8, you notice that Moses made haste and bowed his head to the ground and worshipped. Man, that is the state every man, every one of us today, as we walk and come across men, we must bow down and worship. Worship the Lord in his temple. Worship that man, that one from eternity. See him in all men. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Praise God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We are called to oneness and to love. Praise God. Oneness and to love. We are called to return back to that consciousness that was from the beginning. See, John speaks about a commandment that has been from the beginning. The commandment was never fragmented into 10 bits. It was one commandment. And that is, keep yourself. Keep yourself in my love. Keep yourself in my Christ. Praise God. Yes, many of us have been through a lot of battles. As you walk this life, you meet circumstances that try to tempt you. You meet circumstances that try to bring you down. You meet some bitter temptations that you might have to contend with. But just meditate on these words. The Almighty God. Why is he the Almighty God? Because he has overcome all things. He is the Almighty, all-encompassing, above all situations. He has overcome all of them and rules and reigns. Stir up yourself and overcome the situation. See, that nagging bitterness, that hurt, that pain that you know was inflicted on your flesh, the pain can never be inflicted on your spirit. That pain that was inflicted on your flesh, overcome it by the power of the word. The hurts and the bitterness, the pain from the past, from your family, your brother, your sisters, your husband, your children, overcome it. Almighty God, Almighty One, overcome it. And you will receive that new name, the Almighty God. Overcome it. Sit. Overcome it by the Christ in you. Overcome evil with good. Loosen yourself and pierce through the darkness of this world and see into eternity, and you will be set free. Praise God. See, the stripes, the afflictions can only be upon your flesh, and it cannot go beyond that. Rediscover yourself and you will know that no man can touch you. Jesus Christ says, in that day, no one will be able to touch you. Because you have realized your spiritual self. See, and your spiritual self, no man knows, no man sees. How can they hurt what they do not see? How can they touch what they cannot see? They can only hurt you when you think that you are a man. They can only touch you when you think that you belong to this world. But when you know that your beginnings, your dwelling place is upon Mount Zion, upon the everlasting hills of God, no man can touch you. Praise God. Overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Exercise yourself in God. Exercise yourself in your true self. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Blessings. To